So let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. And let's see your lesson plan. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1, please. You know what I'm saying? Who's the man this morning? And if there's one thing we learned this morning is that you don't have to argue with people, yell at people, have all the answers for people to get saved. Some people are just waiting for you to ask them, okay? And so just ask them. I mean, one day I was walking, the day my dad got saved, I was walking with him, and I had asked him 8 million times. So finally, we were walking one day, and I said, okay, this is it. We're not going home until you. And I said, you know, what's it going to take? And he says, well, and he asked me a couple of token questions that had really nothing to do with nothing. You know, what about this in the Bible? What about this? I said, here's the answer to that. Here's the answer. What else? He's all right, let's do it right now. So I said, what were you waiting for? He says, well, I was waiting for you to ask me because last time I came to the church, you didn't do an altar call. I was so some people just wait. Yeah, whatever. Okay. We are in, I think, week five. We were in week five. This is day number four, week five, of a series on evolution, creation, evolution. The title of the series is called Who's Your Daddy? And we are discussing the arguments that either God created everything, as he said in the Bible, or it evolved. Now, some people are theistic evolutionists, which means they believe in God and evolution. And we stated the first day, you can't be that. Because evolution says that we all came here through natural processes, science-driven. Now, some might say, well, God put the science in motion. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God created it. And so you have to decide, now, microevolution, yes, microevolution, and evolution is really a bad word, but microevolution is variations within a kind, different dogs, variation, different owls or birds, but macroevolution is what the big discussion is about, is a fish going to a land animal. That does not happen. There's no evidence of that. And next week, we're going to talk about fish and birds. And so it'll be very interesting. We're actually going to talk about a fish that lives so deep in the ocean, there's no light. It has its own light on its body. God is a bad brother. Okay, he gave his own light. But we're not going to get into that today. We are going to get into the stars of the heavens. Now let's read, in your lesson plan, let's read a verse real quick. Psalm 119, let me read that to you. Matter of fact, if you could keep your hand in Genesis 1, please turn to Psalm 119 real quick. Psalm 19. And then we'll go back to Genesis 1. Psalm 19, 1. Isn't all this beautiful? It's unbelievable. This is the bomb. You're going to see some, we're going to show you some video. We're going to have a little, what do you call it? Light show. There you go. Let's read it. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament or the sky show his handiwork or the work of his hands. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, have you ever been outside of, far away from home, out of the state, out of the country, and as you get older, far away from home gets further away. But, you know, when you're a little kid, you may went to a different state, or when you're grown up, you went out of the country, it dawned on you that the sky was blue just like at home. I don't know if you ever thought that. I did that. I went, wherever I go, you know what? The sky is just like at home. And the clouds are just like at home. Sun, just like at home. The stars may look different depending on where you're at, because you see different stars. But, you know, the sky's dark at night. And the reason I say that is because what God made in the heavens, look what it says in verse 2. It says, day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everyone understands the stars, the sun, the moon. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. There's words declared by the stars. We're going to see in a minute. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising, the rising of the sun, is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The Bible, the verse says the sun rises and it goes to another end. Well, the sun doesn't move. We move around it. But the sun moves around our galaxy. That's what he's talking about. So that's an interesting insight. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Because the question is, what does the sky say? What do the stars say? Now, after we go through this first page, we're going to get into the zodiac. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you read your horoscope. But we'll get into that in a minute. But I want to give a trivia question to you. Trivia question is, if stars and the light from galaxies and stars are 100,000, 100 million light years away, and young Earth creationists like myself believe that the universe is only 10,000 years old, how did the light from something 100,000 years get here if we're only 10,000 years old? If everything is only 10,000 years old, how'd the light get here? We would have to be 100,000 years old for the light to travel that long to get here. That's just a little trivia question for you, for you to think about, and we'll get to the answer in a few minutes. Let's look at Genesis 1, verse 14. Everybody's saying, Proves evolution. Verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. What were the lights for? To divide the what? From the night. Let them be for signs. Everybody say signs. Seasons, say seasons. For days, say days. And years, say years. Okay, what are the stuff in the sky for? To divide day from night, years, days, signs, and seasons. Do they do that? Do the stars and the constellations and the moon and the angle of the moon and the sun, do they dictate and tell us signs and seasons? Do you know that some fish, let me back up because I'll do that next week. Plants will bloom, leaves will turn brown based on the length of the day. You ever wonder how trees know when to go brown? How do they know it's fall? They don't have a little brain. Well, when the day gets shorter, they know. God programmed them. Ain't that something? It happens every year. You may not see a lot of it here in California, but back east, let me tell you something. You see it like clockwork. Look what it says in verse 15. And let them be for lights of the firmament in the heavens to give light on earth. And it was so. They do that. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. What's that called? Bam! Ain't that something? Oh, sun, we worship you, oh, sun. People do that before. They worship the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. Bam! Technologies. It's in 21st century, 22nd century? What century are we in? The year 2002. And he made the stars also. They're already up there. God set them, put them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and evening and morning were the first day. Let me just recap one thing. Verse 14, he says the heaven, he put the lights in the firmament to divide day and night one time. Days, a second time. Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so, and God made the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Third time, in verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give the light on the earth and to rule the day and the night. A fourth time he said that, to divide the night from the dark, and God saw it was good. Verse 19, evening and morning were the fourth day. Five times he mentions day and night. He's trying to tell you that they're there for day and night. That's what he's trying to say. Exactly what he's trying to say. A lot of times we try to complicate it. It means millions of years. No, he said day and night. That's what he said. Okay. We had our football team, we had an 8-game season, and then the playoffs. And all year you're talking about going to the playoffs. So we went 7-1 in our regular season. And after the last game, the playoff, first playoff game was the very next Saturday. Everyone knew this. We talked about it all year. So we had practice Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So we go through our eight games. Now we're on Tuesday, the week before our first playoff game. Okay? We all know a playoff game is Saturday. It's the biggest thing in our season. Go to playoffs. Am I clear? Okay? We go to practice. We're talking about the playoff game all practice. We got to have a good practice. At the end of practice, we got a team in the hole again. We talk to them after every practice. Every coach speaks. We're talking about the playoff game. And then after the speech and after all the whole season, first practice, playoff game is Saturday, one kid raises his hand and says, "Coach, do we have a game Saturday?" We look at each other and we don't even like, how does this kid make it through life? God said day and night, 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 because he wanted you to know day and night. Look in your lesson plan. What do the bodies tell us? The heavenly bodies tell us. Great light is the sun, the lesser light is the moon. The seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, are determined by the tilt of the earth in relation to the sun. If you want to know more about that, you can get a book. And you can look up on the internet. We don't want to get too much into it now. The tilt of the earth in relation to the sun. The earth is tilted at 23 degrees. It's not straight up and down. 24-hour period, one rotation of the earth on its axis. A year, the orbit of the earth around the sun. A month, orbit of the moon around the earth. What else do the stars tell us? The stars tell us that God is everywhere. A light year is approximately 6 trillion miles. You're going to see some stuff that is many light years big in a minute. And that God is everywhere. He's 6 trillion miles. That's how long it takes. That's how far light travels in 1 year, 6 trillion miles. God is strong. A black hole is so powerful. The gravitational force in a black hole is that light cannot escape it. You know how powerful that is? That light cannot come out. If you were inside a black hole, one, you'd be dead. But if you were alive, and you were going, it was just imploding on you, and you took a flashlight and shined it, the light couldn't get out. You know, a black hole's never been seen. They just kind of know where they're at. But if you send an electromagnetic message to try to see it, it sucks it in. It's amazing. It's amazing. God's out there. He's probably got some stuff in there. He's doing something. I don't know. Watch, I don't want to mess with their mind. Wouldn't it be interesting if black holes, and this is just me talking nonsense, but wouldn't it be interesting if black holes were little doors into heaven? I got too much time on my hand, huh? God is big. The Milky Way galaxy has 100 billion stars and is 100,000 light years across the galaxy that we're in. There are, put a question mark, known galaxies. Some say 3,000, some say billions of galaxies. You know what they do know about galaxies? That as far as man can see, there's still stuff. Never seen the end of the universe. Galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies. God is still moving. The galaxies are believed to be expanding at the speed of light. In other words, the universe is expanding out and galaxies are moving out at the speed of light. 186,000 miles a second, these galaxies are moving away from us. Do you have any idea what these hundreds of thousands of stars is going? You know, the Bible says that God stretches out the heavens. That's a big God. God is smart. Psalm 147 says, he counts the number of the stars and he calls them by name. Go outside tonight. Go outside tonight. And if there's, you know, if you can see the clouds, if you don't have any fog or clouds, stars, if you don't have any fog or clouds over here where you live, and just look up, start counting. There's billions and trillions and godzillions of stars. He knows them all by name. He knows all your hair on your head. The ones that are yours. Someone over here got some issues. I'm sorry if you got offended. You got the ones that, you know, they got, you can put fake hair in your head. If you're going bald, God knows which ones are real. It doesn't matter to him. You know, it's okay. There's nothing biblically wrong about putting hair in your head. But he knows all your hairs. He knows all the hairs that you should have. You know what? He's got them all numbered. So therefore, all your little worries and all your concerns, he's got it all figured out. The next one, God is artistic. Now, we're getting ready to have a little light show. Just turn the lights off. This is going to be the bomb. Now, if you look in your lesson plan, there are two web pages. I highly encourage you that everything you're getting ready to see are on these two web pages. It is amazing what you're getting ready to see. This is going to show you God's power, his artistic ability. I want you to notice the colors. I want you to try to comprehend the size of the things you're getting ready to see and how amazing God is to have made these things. So first one is the cartwheel of fortune. This is formed by two galaxies colliding together. It is about 500 million light years away. That's 500 million times 6 trillion miles. I don't even know how they figure that out. Okay? Next one is the Andromeda Galaxy, about 176,000 light years away in diameter. 176,000 light years in diameter, 2.5 million light years away. Okay? The next one's the Milky Way Galaxy, that's where we live. Next one is a giant stellar nursery. About 200 hot, massive stars are in that thing. 1,500 light years across and 3 million light years away. How did that light get here if we're only 10,000 years old? If it's 3 million light years away. Interesting. Next one is Mercury. Okay, 400 degrees on the surface. 400 degrees. Next one is Venus. Is that Venus? I did this last service. I missed it. I missed the change. Now, the clouds above the surface of Venus are sulfuric acid. 900 degrees. And so when they send probes up to see it, they last only a few minutes. They just burn up and melt and get disintegrated. It's like God said, look, I'm going to put some stuff up here, but don't come near Venus. Don't even try it. I want you to notice the different atmospheres, like this one. Mercury's 400 degrees. This is 900 degrees. And it's sulfuric acid. What's up with that? And it's like kind of a, I don't even know what color that is. Whatever that color is, you're going to see some that are green, blue, different planets and that he makes. Okay, that's Venus. Next one is Mars. If you see that crack right across the middle, that is the largest canyon known to man. It's 18,000 miles long. And if you compare it to the Grand Canyon, the Grand Canyon is only 500 miles long. So it's quite a bit, you know, 30 sometimes bigger. Next one. I'm sorry. What's that? That's sweet, huh? Can y'all see? There's one behind you, you know. That's bad. How many of y'all, that's your favorite? How many of y'all, that's the only one you know? I mean, think about what God's doing. What, you know, it's like, okay, well, how did that happen? Well, during the Big Bang, stuff just happened and it just went around it. No, God did that. He put all that stuff to orbit right around that. And like, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Next one, Uranus, 19 times farther from the sun than the earth, and it's tilted on its axis. Sometimes points the sun, sometimes it doesn't. They don't know why, of course. Another God playing a little trick on everybody. Next one is Neptune. See how it's blue color? Next one is Pluto. Someone said it looks like a disco light. Let's go back one. Neptune, go back one. Uranus, see how different shades and colors? Okay, go forward. Neptune, Pluto. And then the next one is, now before we do it, so the next one, this one, are particles falling to the earth. It's called Northern Lights. Let's see that one. Bam. Isn't that beautiful? About 60 miles above the earth. Now the next one is the most complicated and the most involved. the most complex, and it is Earth. Only place there's life, only place there's liquid water known to man. Okay? There's ice out in space, but not liquid water. Next one is the moon. The moon is 230,000 miles from Earth, about a light second away. It takes light 1 second to get to the moon. So if you had a light, flashlight, or something that could reach it, you would go 1/1,000 is there. Imagine if you could travel that fast. Let's go to the moon. Boom. Oh, I forgot something. Bam. Come back. Okay, next one is the sun's surface. 1,000,000 degrees Celsius. 1,000,000 degrees. Now, you know what's amazing about the moon? Is that the sun? 1,000,000 degrees. Now, you could lay outside. You get hot. Last week it was real hot outside. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm dying. The moon, the sun, thank you. The sun is an average star. There are stars 1,000 times hotter than the moon, than the sun. Why keep saying the moon? it's the moon god. He's just influencing me or something. No. There are stars 1,000 times hotter, much bigger than the sun. Imagine how far away they have to be that we're not affected by them like we are the sun. So, let me see the sun. Pleiades, in the Bible we're going to read today, Pleiades is a 7 stars, and God says, can you bind Pleiades? And these stars supposedly are, them and Orion are the only stars, supposedly, that are connected together through gravitational force. And God says, can you hold these together? That's what they are. Boom, look at those things. Bam. Okay, this next group, which is the last group we're going to go through, is my favorite. These are called nebula. They're gas, plumes of space, gas, and dust. But I want you to notice the colors. They're just freaky looking. First one is the cone nebula. Bam! Look at that. It looks like a whoop. That thing is 2,500 light years away, and it is 7 light years long. That thing is 42 trillion miles long. Does anybody know how big that is? You can't even say it's big. It's just, it's big. It's bigger than big. Huge. Colossal. Next one is the Great Nebula Orion. Next one is the Horsehead Nebula. You see the horsehead right in the middle of the screen? You guys see that? Now,
Well, it just so happens that in the explosion of the Big Bang, millions and trillions of years ago, this horse just happened to be there, and it just so happens that it looks like a horse on Earth. It just so happens it looks like a, seahorse. Just happens. Just that coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. God just hooked it up. The next one is the Eta Carina Nebula. Look at that. Those lobes are both, each individual, are bigger than our solar system. Isn't that something? Next one is the Helix Nebula, 450 light years away. Next one is the Supernova. Look at that. 6,000 light years away. Next one is, there's two more, the Pelican Nebula. Look at those lights. Now, this last one's my favorite. And there it is. Gaseous pillars. 6,500 light years away, it is 4 light years long. That's 24 trillion miles from the top to the bottom of the one on the left. Isn't that beautiful? Or freaky, whatever it is. It's kind of weird looking, but it's... the bomb. Let's give the Lord a hand for all the stuff he did. Amen. Those web pages that we put in your lesson plan, if you want to see that, and when I tell you there's a whole lot more pictures, one of those web pages, it's a astronomy picture of the day. They put a different picture every day. They've been doing that for since the midnight, I think, many, many years. It's just tons of pictures. And so, you know, you'll see some that you might say, well, he should have put this one up instead. Well, maybe so.
Turn to your lesson plan. So the question remains, how did that light get here? Someone will say evolution says that the fact that those things are so far away and the light is here proves that we must be old. Well, when God made the heavens and the earth, the Bible says he made light. The Bible says that he made water. The Bible says in one day he divided the water from the sea. When he divided the water from the sea, that day the water was divided from the sea. He made it and completed it. The Bible says he made plants, trees with fruit, and the seed according to their kind in the fruit. And it was so. In other words, on the day he made it, it was full grown. The Bible says he made man, Adam, and Eve full grown. He didn't make an infant Eve or infant Adam and said, when you guys grow up, you can get married and have babies. No, they were full grown humans. He made it full grown. He made the fish. The Bible, next week we're going to see the fish and the birds. That he filled the ocean and the skies with fish and birds. They were full grown, flying around, swimming around. They weren't little microbes going to evolve into full grown birds. What he did was he made the universe, he made everything full grown, and he put man on it, on a full grown, developed earth so he can live. If he put an infant on an earth that was barren, waiting for plants to grow, man would have died. So what he did was he made the universe full grown. He made the stars, made the planets, the sun, and the light already here. If the light wasn't here, there'd be no light, no darkness from those things. They wouldn't be able to give signs at all. He made the light already here in transit. No problem for God. What does that mean? He lit it up and he made the light all the way already here already. No problem. Very simple answer. If you don't believe it, that's okay. Turn to your lesson plan. Matter of fact, turn to Job 38. We are going to look at the zodiac. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you read your horoscope, but I will tell you this. The two words in horoscope are scope and horror. I want to read my bad news today. Why would you want to read a horrible scope of your life? Is it ironic about the horoscope that one twelfth of the population needs the same advice every day? That doesn't even make sense. Identical twins need the same advice every day? No, they don't. Identical twins are not always identical in their personalities and their issues. They may look the same, but they're not the same. You are not to worship the stars. You are not to worship the created thing. I made a joke earlier when I bowed down to the sun. The sun has been worshipped for many, many, many years. The heavenly bodies have been worshipped for many, many, many years. And we're going to see in the Bible that God not only created the zodiac or the constellations, but he put them there for a reason. Remember we read? He put them in the sky, or the stars in the sky, for day and night, years, signs, and seasons. Every season, every month, there's a different constellation. Why is that? Because God put it there. You don't think it goes by us by accident. No, God made it that way. He told us. He said, look, I'm going to put something in the sky so you can know day and night, times and seasons. Okay? You're going to see it. And matter of fact, if you look in your lesson plan on the very first verse, it says the heavens are going to declare the glory of God. It's going to declare the glory, and no language is going to be ignorant to its message. Everybody understands the sun. Everybody understands stars, moon. Everybody understands the constellation. The constellation, the zodiac constellation, is known all over the world, and they're the same, pretty much the same symbols. Isn't that ironic? Let's read Job 38. 38:31. He says, can you bind the cluster? He's talking to Job. And basically he's answering Job to try to remind Job how small Job is and how big God is. He says, Job, let me ask you a question. Can you bind the cluster of Pleiades? Remember those seven stars we up there? Can you keep them together? I don't think so. You probably didn't even know they were up there, Job. He says, can you loose the belt of Orion, another constellation? Can you bring out
Maseroth or the constellation or the zodiac in its season.
Job, let me ask you a question. When it's March, April, can you bring out Aries? Can you bring out Pisces? Can you bring out that constellation when it's time for it to be up in the sky? I didn't think so. Did you even know those constellations were there, Joe? Do you know where those names came from? Do you know where the pictures came from? Do you know what those names mean? Do you know the message that I wanted every man in every language and every culture to see every year, every month? Did you know that, Joe? No, you didn't. Hey, Joe, did you think a Persian culture, a Chaldean culture, or Egyptian culture made that stuff up and put those stars up there? Joe, did you think that? Come on, Joe. I put that stuff there, Joe. I named it with a purpose. And so look at your lesson plan. It says the Maseroth is the Hebrew name for zodiac, which means the path or the way. They call it the ecliptic, the path that the sun and all the stars go through our sky. And every day and every month, they're on that path. Right above us since the beginning of time. Now, some of you, I wouldn't say some of you, I bet you all of us look at the pictures. Virgo to Virgin, Libra to Scales, the Scorpion, the Ram, the Fish. You look at those pictures and you see this mass confusion of stars. You go, how did they get that picture from those stars? Anybody ever wonder that? Yeah, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, let me tell you why that picture is not in those stars. The picture comes from the meaning of the Hebrew name for the star. Say it again. When you see a picture up there, the picture represents the Hebrew name for the star the picture was named after. If you look at your lesson plan, the first picture is Bethula, which means virgin. Now, before we go any further, where do these names come from? Remember, God said he names all the stars. You remember, God said that the stars in the sky show his handiwork. Matter of fact, just turn your lesson plan over to the very first verse. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. What is the most glorious thing God could ever declare? The gospel. Think about it. God says, let me back up. There is a constellation. There is a rotation of these stars above our head. That is a fact. And they do have names that every culture pretty much agrees with. That is a fact. And these names have Hebrew roots that have a gospel meaning. That is also a fact. And God said, I name the stars. That is a biblical fact. And God says, my stars are going to declare my glory. That's a biblical fact. When you put all these pieces together, you go, what could God be saying? That I put the message of the gospel that every language will be able to understand because it's in the stars every year, every month, right before your eyes. Let's read it. The Persian and Egyptian culture believe and have as their belief that the names of the stars came from Adam, Seth, and Enoch, both characters in Genesis, the first nine chapters of Genesis, that they had the names. And what's ironic is that you will see many, many cultures around the world that have a creation account, a great flood account in their history, and that's why for them to believe in Adam is not a big deal. They believe that's where the names came from. Adam, he could have told Abraham. The Bible says that God walked with Abraham and told him, look at the stars, I'm going to make your descendants as multitudes of stars. He could have told him then. But what we do know is that cultures all around the world believe in these zodiac names. They just have reinterpreted their meaning. What the devil wants you to do, the devil wants you to worship the stars. The devil wants you to think the stars can tell you about your life. That's like you going up to a rock saying, talk to me. I'm having girlfriend problems. What should I do? I mean, you got to have a lot of faith to listen to that rock. That's what that is. Or you believe that there's some spiritual message
in these heavenly bodies, which is also ridiculous. Matter of fact, if you look in your lesson plan, let me just give you another verse you can write down, because we're not going to get into it. Our time is running out. But next to where it says secular interpretation is prohibited, you have Isaiah. I want you to write down 2 Kings 23, verse 5. 2 Kings 23, verse 5. Because that talks about Josiah prohibiting stargazing and the astrologers as a form of idol worship. But let's look at these names real quick. We're going to try to do this swiftly here. I wish I had more time. But it says, first one, Virgo, Bethula, Virgin, Virgin Mary, promised seed of a woman. Now, what you have to understand about the zodiac and the constellations is that each zodiac sign had four constellations. You had the main constellation, Virgo, which is a woman holding an ear of corn and a branch. And you had three smaller constellations with that main constellation. And all these words go together, have a message. The first one is Virgo. And Virgo has three minor constellations. The Virgo is a virgin woman going to have a baby. As you know, the Bible says that therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. And this is not necessarily the one in heaven, even though you can include that. But the sign is that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Jesus was born of a virgin. The small minor constellations, one meant the desired of all nations, the baby. The second one meant the despised sin offering. Jesus was born to be a sin offering. The third constellation meant he cometh. He's coming. A woman's going to be pregnant, and she's going to have a son who's going to be a sin offering. He's coming. That's what he said. Bam. Go look up in the internet. Look up in your zodiac books and look, and you see these pictures. Next one is Libra, the scales. The price, sin must be paid for, the scales of divine justice. I don't know, you may have heard this joke before, but a person stood on a scale, and they were so heavy that the scale said, to be continued. I know it's kind of cold-blooded, but it's just a joke. It's just a joke. When you stand on the scales of divine justice, you take all your righteousness and all your sin, the scale will say, not enough for heaven. You need forgiveness. Libra, the scales. Scales. The Hebrew word right there is mozanim. Sin must be paid. The third one is Scorpio, akrab. Seeking to wound. The scorpion, seeking to wound. The small constellations with this one is a serpent struggling with man, a man grasping the serpent, and a mighty man, Hercules, holding the serpent down with his foot. Those are the small constellations with the scorpion, is that Jesus is going to struggle with the serpent and overcome the serpent. See, the devil came to destroy your life, lie to you, cheat, steal, rob, put you in bondage of sin. But Jesus, the desired one of all nations, the one who's going to be born of the virgin, is coming to deliver you, and he's already come. You need to accept his deliverance. Some of you already have this morning. Next one is Sagittarius, the archer, the two-natured conqueror. The two-natured conqueror. And what the picture is a horse with a man's body coming out of it with a bow. And the three small constellations, one is a harp, which means praise prepared for the conqueror. The next one is a consuming fire prepared for his enemies. And the third one is this old serpent the devil cast down out of heaven. So you have this archer is a horse body and a man's body, and he's got a bow in his hand killing the enemies of God and God's people. Next one, Sagittarius, the archer. Capricorn, the goatfish. The goatfish. The goat is what is going to be sacrificed, the fish of the people of God. The goat is the object of atonement. The tool of atonement, forgiveness, and the fish is the object of atonement. The three small constellations, one means the arrow sent forth from God. Another minor constellation means the smitten one has fallen. The third one is the dead one rising.
He's going to rise from the dead. Aquarius, the water pourer. And they might see a picture of a man pouring water. Guess what Jesus says? If you come unto me, I will give you rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. In verse John 4:10. The next one is Pisces the fish. How many Pisces the fish we have in the house? Okay. Pisces the fish, God's remnant, the emergence of God's true people. Some of you have fish on the back of your car, which says, "I am one of God's people." You're one of God's fish. All of us are one, if you have Christ as your Savior. Jesus told his disciples, "I will make you fishes of men." I will make you fishes of men. God's people. The blessing of God's people. Next one is Aries the ram. I'm an Aries the ram, the Aries. Sacrifice of an innocent substitute for sin. John 1:30. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Revelation 5:12. A loud voice said, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, the strength and honor and glory of the blessing." The small minor constellations for this one is the captive delivered and prepared for her husband. The great enemy bound and delivering his redeemed. That God, Jesus, is going to be sacrificed that we may be redeemed. If you remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, he lifted up his hand and his son Isaac was bound on the altar. God said, "Sacrifice your son." So he said, okay, brought him up to the mountain. 3 days later, he's going to kill him. When he lifted his hand up, God said, "Stop. Now I know you trust me." And he looked over, there was a ram in the thicket, caught in his branches. And God said, "There's your sacrifice, the ram. Aries the ram." 3 days, Isaac was dead in his mind. From the day he told him to kill his son to the day he resurrected him, or the day he told not to kill him, was 3 days. The same length of time Jesus was in the earth, dead, 3 days and three nights. The same length of time Jonah was in the belly of a fish, 3 days and three nights. Just a coincidence. And it was a ram. When's the last time you heard of a ram getting, or any animal getting stuck in a bush? You ever see rams fight? Pow! You ever see that? Anybody? And they do it on a cliff. I was watching some extra TV yesterday, and this guy was on a unicycle riding on the edge of a cliff. It was 2,700 feet straight down, and he was this far from the edge on a unicycle. I mean, the brother must be bad. I'm not even going to walk near that thing. And he's doing this, and these ram on the cliffs, they're so sure-footed that they'll run on a cliff, and they're fighting for a woman. And you can see how hard-headed they are, you know, to be fighting for a woman. But then, bam! And then this ram was stuck. I can't get out. I don't think so. God just hooked Abraham up. But it was a ram. The next one is Taurus the bull. Taurus the bull. God will rule as a bull. The three minor constellations is Orion, light breaking forth in the person of the Redeemer, our Savior. Wrath breaking forth for his enemies, and the safety for the redeemed in the day of wrath. Next one is twins, Gemini. How many Geminis we got in the house? Gemini in the house. Gemini, Hebrew word means twins, represents the dual nature of our Savior. God is all man and all God. Remember we talked 3 or 4 weeks ago about light being particle in nature, like a physical ball, and also electromagnetic. It could go around corners, it can go through glass. It's a wave property. Light has wave properties,
and physical particle properties at the same time, which is a mystery to scientists, how God, at the same way, is all man and all God. When he made light, he said, I want to give you a little glimpse into my nature. Because the Bible is the only thing that God created that he said he was. God said, God is light, the Bible says. First thing he created was, he said, let there be light. And what he made, when he made light, he gave us insight into how he could be more than one nature. He could, and his own being defies science. He can make stuff that defies science. At the speed of light, time stops. Light is ageless. Light is always in the constant now. There is no tomorrow to light. It's time to stop at the speed of light. So God said, I'm like that. I'm all man. The Bible says the Word was with God. The Word was God in the beginning. And the Word became flesh. It's God's intent, his motive, his spoken word is also his became flesh, man, Jesus, Gemini. Interesting. Gemini. Cancer. This is what, from what I was reading, they don't understand the crab. But what it means is the gathering of the redeemed from all ages. The Bible says in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You know that God looks at all of us, he says, you know what, I love every single one of you. I know the hairs on your head. I know the hairs all over your body. You know your body's full of hairs, whether you see them or not. There's hairs all over your body. I know every single one of them. I know every atom, every cell in your body. I know all the information in your DNA, and all the information in the DNA in every cell is exactly the same. I know it all. And all I want to do is love you, forgive you of your sin, protect you, encourage you, guide you, direct you, fill you with joy, peace, and happiness. That's all he wants to do. Cancer, he says, I want you to be mine. All we have to do is say, here I am. So many times we want to fight God, like when you grow up, you want to fight your parents, you want to do your own thing, you don't want to listen to your parents. Guess what? Your parents know more than you. They do. Just like you know more than your little sister who's only 1 year younger than you. Or your little brother who's 2 years. Oh, you don't know. I'm 16. I know about that. You're 16. You don't know jack. But you're going to tell your 15-year-old brother, sister, or your 12-year-old that you know everything about everything. I know how freshmen are. I know how it is to be in eighth grade. Your parents, and not that they're always right, but they know more. God, so much more, says, I know everything. And he does. And he says, all I want is to love you. Why are you fighting? Why are you running from me? That's the message. The last one is the lion. Everyone go, ah. You guys are so crazy. Revelation 5:5. One of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seals. Jesus is the lion. He is the lion of Judah. He is going to rule. The lion is the king of the jungle. Jesus is the king of kings. And he says right there, he says this whole thing from Virgo, the virgin, to the lion is the story. And guess what? Every year it goes by. And every culture understands the signs, but they don't understand the biblical meaning. Why? Because the devil perverts everything. Perverts the Bible. He perverts relationships. He perverts the meaning of relationships. He perverts how to treat each other. He perverts sex. He perverts everything. He perverted the message. All the cults and false religions, he perverts the gospel. And God said, hey, I put it there for you. Now, I'm going to give you something now. I'm just going to give you something just as a little extra credit here. Look in your lesson plan. This is something for you to think about. The Jews, Israel comes from a man named Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. He had 12 sons. Each one of those sons is a tribe. When the Jews walked 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, they had a tabernacle. And they were told to encamp around the tabernacle in a specific order. And you can get books that just show you where they're camped at. And each one of them had a symbol for their tribe. Guess what their symbols were? These pictures. Around the camp was a square. There were four main tribes around each one that were almost like the gatekeeper to those different sides. And if you look at your lesson plan from the bottom up, one was Judah the lion. Another was the bull. Another one was a man. And then we see a scorpion was a tribe of Dan, and through Dan, much idolatry came into the camp, and it was later changed to an eagle. They believe because the scorpion represented the evil, they changed it to an eagle, which represented God's deity. So you had these four signs, an eagle, a man, a bull, and a lion around protecting the tabernacle. Now here's what's interesting. If you go to Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel sees a vision. And he sees an angel in heaven. And the angel has four faces. Guess what the four faces are? A bull, a man, an eagle, and a lion. Ooh. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew's message that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lion of Judah. Mark, that Jesus is a suffering servant, a bull. Luke, that he is a man, son of man. And John, that he is God, an eagle. That's just a coincidence. No. God is coordinated. He's organized. He knows what he's doing. And you know what's amazing about God? Is that you can mess up your life. And how many of us, and I'll be the first one to raise my hand, have been any time in your life felt, man, I messed up my life. Okay? I done caused a heap of trouble. As they say in somewhere, I don't know, a mess. And your life is just like, who can fix it? Even God. No matter how messed up your life is, no matter how janked it is, that's not a word, but you know what it means. God, the master organizer, billions and trillions, they estimate it could even be billions of galaxies, all with billions of stars in each, traveling at the speed of light out. That God says, give me your little problems. I can, no matter what, no matter how much you mess it up, I can unmess it up. I can restore what the locusts have eaten. In other words, what all the trouble has destroyed, I can make it grow back again. Have you ever seen a plant that you thought was dead? And you just gave it a little love, a little water, and just talked to it a little bit, and all of a sudden, it grew again? That's simple. God's like, you're talking to the dirt, man. Let me make that thing grow. Just so I can make you stop talking to the dirt. God looks at every single one of you, and he says, I know every single one of you. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says your sin is going to cause you to die. You will die. You know that. God says, I want so bad to bring you to myself and love you, encourage you. So in a minute, we're going to pray. We did this at the beginning of the service. We asked you if you asked Christ to be your Savior. I'm going to ask you again. Some of you may say, you know what? I'm ready. I believe this God can take care of me. I believe him. Also, don't read your horoscope anymore. You know why? And I know it's a joke, but it's not a joke. All that stuff is an entry point into idolatry, into the cult. Occult. Ouija boards, tarot cards, it's all an entry point. Look, Harry Potter, entry point. Don't go to the movie, don't get the book, don't get the video. It's an entry point. You know what they're trying to teach you? That witchcraft is okay. You can fly on brooms. You can't fly on brooms, but witchcraft is true. That's when I say it's true, there really is a devil. And so you watch that and you get just subtly inundated. Oh, let me worship the stars. No, 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 no. Don't even go there. Don't go there. Worship Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I pray people go and visit these websites. And I pray that you would blow their mind out of their head. that they would just sit there and scratch their skull and say, how? Lord, you know how many hours I spent looking at these pictures, wondering how? How could this stuff be so big and we can't even see it? It's not consuming our life. It's so far away. How? How is making all that possible? Here we have scientists trying to say that life was an accident, and they can't even reproduce it with all the knowledge they have. They can't even reproduce in a laboratory without, from nothing, life. They have to have all this gadgets, all this predetermined material. But Lord, that's only on this planet. How do they explain black holes? Planets with sulfuric acid clouds. Nebula, 42 trillion miles long. Stars without number, galaxies without number, expanding at the speed of light. And Lord, it's not chaotic, it's beautiful. How? How? And Lord, after all of that is made, here we are, the only living thing known to man. And you said, I love you. Why? Lord, your love is unsearchable, and truly we cannot search the answer to know why you did all that you may love us. But you did. By faith, we accept that. Lord, there may be somebody here today that says, you know what? I want that God to be my Savior. I want that God to be my problem solver, my life untangler, my life organizer, strategist. So if you want Jesus to be your Savior today, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer, same prayer as I did 45 minutes ago. Dear Lord, please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you are God, that you died and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. Please be my Savior, my Lord, my Master. Thank you, Jesus. As the eyes close and our heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer either before the service or after the service, just now, to ask Christ to be your Savior, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. But when you're standing, what you're going to say by standing, just what you're going to represent by standing, is that the God who created all that we just talked about, who organized, who made it from nothing, the God who can count and name every star, that you are saying, he is now my daddy. Random chance, chaos is not my daddy. Evolution is not my daddy. The creator of the universe and everything there in it and outside of it is my daddy. So right now, if you prayed that prayer either before the service or after the service to ask Christ to be your Savior, I'm just going to ask you right now to stand to your feet and acknowledge him as your Savior. Stand. God bless you. Good. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Stay standing. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. Good. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. Many of you raised your hand in the beginning of the service. Now is your chance to stand up. Acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? The creator of the universe is saying to you, give your life to me. He's saying to you, I love you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Good. Anybody else? Now, as you're standing, we're going to ask you to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you to come up to the altar right now and give me a shake of hand. God bless you. Who's the man? Come right here. God bless you. Very good. Congratulations. Stay right here. Come on up here. Who else coming? Come on. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on up. God bless you. God bless you. It's okay. Say hi to your sister. Say hi to your sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Say hi to each other. God bless you. Amen.
The Bible says, the Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, he or she's a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. The old is gone, the new has come, and all the junk that you wish was gone, it's just started to leave. It just started to leave. You got to, by faith, believe it. Your only job is not to fix it. That's God's job. Your job is to obey. If by faith you can believe that obeying God will fix that over there, you'll be all fine. God's going to tell you to get, in the morning, get up and pray. You're going to be like, God, I got to go fix this. No. You pray, I'll fix that. God, I gotta call this person, tell them don't come over. First, you pray, and I'll tell you how to tell them. I'll give them a flat so they can't come. You pray. You read your Bible. All you got to do, my friends, is do what God says. So all your energy and your focus, all of us. God, what do you want me to do? And many of us know what to do, amen? Next thing is, God, give me the strength to do it. That's why you got to get people in your life who will encourage you and not drag you down. Some of the people in your life, they are like ball and chain. You got to cut them off. Tell them, don't call you back. You don't live there anymore. Matter of fact, you don't exist. You just died. You know, and spiritually you did. You just died to your flesh. You just died to your old self. It's over. God, give me new friends. Give me a new job. Give me a new major in school. Because you know what? I'm just not smart enough to do this. I want to do that. Lord, we thank you for these people. We pray you would do an amazing thing in their life, that the old will be truly gone and the new will come. Lord, I pray people would search these things that they heard today to be true or false. That they would study. That they would read. That they would look on the internet and look at these things. And Lord, that they would be convinced in their heart, yes, there is a God, and he did it, just like he said. Lord, these concepts, these beliefs are the very foundation of our faith, and they are the very thing the devil's attacking. May we be sure what and why we believe what we believe. Thank you for being good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask all y'all to walk right there to that man right there. Just walk that way. Just give him a hand. Everybody have a safe holiday. Share your faith with your family, if you will. God bless you.